thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, gosh, y'all still asleep? My goodness. Come on. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, good. Let's give it up for our worship team. Can we give them a great applause for all they've done? And let's give it up for our baseball team. Congratulations, guys. And all that's happening here. I was sharing with Coach, with our director, Darren, you know, we're a team of champions here. And it's so good to hear of the success that we've been able to accomplish this year. And we're looking forward to bringing more rings and champions here to this university. I'm really thankful to be here this morning and have this opportunity. Thank Dan and the Spiritual Formation team for inviting me to speak to you this morning. I really love doing this. And I'm reminded every Wednesday of how important it is to get you out on time for the calf. So I'm going to make good use of our time. And I just ask that you would turn with us in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I would just ask that you would follow along with me in whatever translation you would prefer. But we want to hopefully give you something that will really encourage you and give you something to be motivated to continue on this spiritual walk. So Matthew 11, verse 28 through verse 30, it says, "Then said Jesus, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you, it is light." Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I want to speak to you for a few moments on the topic, take a rest. Take a rest. In 2007, I graduated from Sumter High School, and to be quite honest, I had all of these different dreams and desires for life. I had an intention to go to the Air Force and travel the world. Get a very nice car, purchase a very nice home, wear very fine clothes, and just enjoy life. And I think all of us, at some point in our life, that's what we want to do. We want to make an investment in life that will yield to us the wonderful dividends that will help us live the American dream. We see it on TV, we see it on social media, and some of the time, our aspirations for life are determined by what we are exposed to. And so I had these goals set up. You know, I didn't want to go to college initially. I wanted to work and then go online, and I did that. And things were looking really well for me. I mean, I had a pretty good job. To say I was 18 years old, and I had some money, but I wasted it and I blew it, so it doesn't really count, right? But I was doing pretty well. And then all of a sudden, I lost my job. I came in one day and they said, "Okay, sorry, we don't want you here any longer, and this is your last day." And I was like, "Okay. So God, what am I going to do here?" At that time, I had no real plan for my life at that point. I said, okay, I'm just going to make the best of what they have. And I really dug deep into the Word of God, and I tried to fix my life, if you will. Just do things that would make my life, almost make God responsible for rewarding me. Kind of like, God, I'm doing all these things, so you surely if I'm doing all these things, you'll bless me. My life will go the direction that I want it to go. So I started reading my Bible. I mean, really obsessively reading my Bible. I'm talking about, I think the first time I read it all the way through in about 3.5 months, I was just reading chapters and chapters and chapters a day, just consuming my time with reading the Bible. I went to every church service that I could go to. I went to every prayer service. I prayed as often as I could. And what I found out is that life was getting harder and harder. It was getting very difficult. On top of that, I was trying to make a really, really modest living. I was trying to really get married at the time. I was only like 19. I mean, it was really ridiculous at that point, but just bear with me. I was trying to get married at 19. And so for some people, that works. So I'm not saying it's a bad way to go. But for me, that wasn't the time. And so my life was literally kind of collapsing right before me. And every day I woke up, I felt like I was carrying this very heavy, heavy, heavy burden. And I want you all to be transparent with me for a moment. Just be honest. Just like me and you in the room. How many of us here today, we're at the end of the semester, how many of you all feel like you're carrying a very heavy burden this morning? Just raise your hand really quick. All right? We got a few honest people in the room. Let's give it up for the honest people in the room, okay? All you other guys, I'm just not going to act like here. Okay. But I'll tell you what, I want to show you what it felt like. My community group, if you're here, community group, guys from the community group, can y'all come up stage for me real quick? And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Can we give it up for the community group members? Come on. This is what it felt like every day I woke up. All right? Every day. Come on, guys. You can do it. Now, I called the strongest people on campus. All right? So what you're seeing here is the best of the strongest people on campus. All right? Give it up. All right? All right. So this is what I want you guys to do. Anyone? No. You're cheating. All right. So I want the strongest one. Which one of y'all the strongest? Anyone? Brittany. Come on, Brittany. They volunteered you. Try to pull that. Y'all give her some space really quick. Try to pull that. Now, don't hurt yourself. I don't coach. I'm not going to hurt her, okay? All right, but try to pull that. All right, come on. Yeah, keep going. All right, come on. All right, so stop. How does that feel? That's pretty heavy, right? Let me see. Zion, come on, real quick. Come on, Zion. Get up for Zion, guys. Not together. Try to pull that. Just a little bit. Not too far. There you go. How does that feel?
It's kind of heavy.
Kind of heavy, huh? This is about 4 plates of 45 pounds. Almost a little over 200 pounds. And if we're quite honest, this is how all of us feel when we wake up in the morning. We have to get up every morning and pull this weight to class, pull this weight to church, pull this weight back home to see our family. And that's the way we spend our lives, every single day. And I'll tell you what happens if you do that every single day, you get burnt out. You don't want to wake up. You don't want to carry that every single day. And you get tired of life. Can we give y'all guys a hand? Thank you so much. These are our moral support here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Here's the point. It came to a point as I was doing all this reading, all this praying, all this going to church, my spiritual life began to look like that. I was pulling all this weight. I was pulling all of this stuff. Like, God, I got it. Here I am. I'm doing all this. Surely you should give me something for all of this. And this is what Jesus was addressing in this text. We kind of entered into this text in the middle, or rather to the end of the biblical chapter. But literally it starts at chapter 10. Because what Jesus does is he tells his disciples, his closest people, to go throughout the towns and villages, go everywhere preaching to the lost tribe of the house of Israel, and I want you to tell them that their Messiah has finally come. And it's interesting, guys, because it wasn't like he was going across the water or across the seas to pagan societies or pagan nations. He was going right to his own people, who were the most religious, the most traditional, the most law-abiding people. He went to them and said, you need a savior. This is what I found out as I began to go through life. Out of all that I was doing in life, I was still a jacked up, stinking sinner. I was still messed up and I needed some help. And there was nothing in the world that I could do that could make me right with God. So I'll tell you what happened. I began to read this book. I read a book by Martin Luther, a book about Martin Luther, if you all are familiar with him. He's this Protestant reformer. He really was the beginning of the Protestant movement, started with him. And they talked about how he struggled with his life. He struggled with his own righteousness. And it was like the book I needed to hear at that point, because it convinced me that I was only saved through my faith in Jesus Christ. I read another book by Jonathan MacArthur, it was entitled Charismatic Chaos. And I never saw someone critique my denomination the way he did. And he just tore it apart, really. I mean, it's quite embarrassing to read. But it was another book that helped me think deeply about my faith and why I believed the way I believed. I read another book by R.C. Sproul entitled The Holiness of God. And it convinced me that I was still nothing that I should be, even all the attempts that I tried to make. But there's something else that I did that I think really changed my life more than anything in the world. I began to read the Gospels about Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this. I've been in church all my life. My dad's a pastor. All I know is church. I can't do many things, but if you want to have a good church service, I can really put on a good program for you, because that's all I know. But it taught me how to act like a child of God, but not really how to be a child of God. And that really got my attention. This is what I found out by reading the Gospels. There's nobody in the world better at being a child of God than Jesus Christ. He's completely different. And nothing that I heard in church did justice to what I was reading. Nothing I heard from people who were healed by him or who had experienced him in a supernatural way, as they might describe it, none of it did justice to what I was reading in the Bible. And this is what I learned. This is what God helped me to see. What you see in him is what God is expecting of you. And that's what shook me to my core. Because I can fake it really good before you, but I can't fake it with God. Now, when we're in our church, we say amen. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. So I begin to ask God, what am I going to do here? I mean, I'm completely jacked up here. What am I going to do? And this is why this passage is so powerful. Jesus went to his people and they were very good people. Undoubtedly, they got everything right. But God says, you're carrying something that is unnecessary. You're carrying a weight that you shouldn't be carrying. Come to me. And literally, if you look at Matthew chapter 10 and you read here, you'll see how he goes throughout all the villages, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching this message about Jesus Christ. And then when we get to chapter 11, Jesus gets completely upset. I mean, he kind of almost loses his cool, if you will, because he's saying to them in verse 20, now I've gone to all these tribes, all these nations or cities. I've gone to Bethsaida. I've gone to Capernaum. I've gone to Chorazin. And I've preached to you all. I've done all these miracles and you still won't believe. You won't receive me. You won't allow me to be the person that I want to be with you. And this is what he says. He says in these verses that in the day of judgment, it will be better off for Sodom and Gomorrah, all of these other cities that were in the Old Testament, than it will be for you, because you wouldn't receive me. If they would have gotten what you have gotten, they would have repented earnestly. They would have immediately have done it. They would have given their life over to Christ, but you all wouldn't do that. And right here, Jesus begins to pray. Look at verse 25, if you have your Bibles. This is what he says. In the middle of all of this, he says, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to childlike people. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. This is the first way to get free today. You got to admit, you can't do this by yourself. Whatever this is for you, you can't do it by yourself. If it's scoring 50 points in a game, you'll never do that by yourself. If it's dropping, you know, one of the game-winning home run, you'll never do that by yourself. But we wake up every day thinking that we can just work a little harder, do a little more, run a little faster, and things will work out. That's not how our spiritual work, our lives work spiritually. There's only one way to get help, and that's through Jesus. All right, look at what he says here. He says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal them. Right there, as he's saying that, he breaks off and he offers what many people call the grand invitation. And the invitation is simply this: come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's a powerful verse. The word rest there literally means a refreshing, a revival. It's kind of like when you're working out, you have to take what they call a rest period. And some of us take longer rest periods than others. Some of us, our rest periods are 1 minute. And some of us, our rest period is 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and we're walking around the gym and talking to everybody. But nevertheless, it's that rest period where you can catch your breath. And this is what he's saying. If you want that rest, come to me. But this is the best part of the verse that I love about this invitation. He says this: take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Here's an interesting thing. This is what we imagine. We imagine that God says, all right, come here, bring all that stuff you've been carrying and just drop it before me, and then you can go about your way. See, that's how you get rest. But that's not actually what he says. He says, bring the junk that you're carrying with you to me, drop it, but notice what he says, take my yoke. Which means, here's the point, many of us are carrying things that'll never, ever bring any fruit or productivity. Amen. We're working. It's kind of like running on a treadmill. I was looking at a YouTube video the other day, And there's this guy, he was the fastest guy that had ever ran on a treadmill. He was going, I mean, I don't know what the speed was, but he was really, really going. He was running really intensely. And he got up so fast that people were looking around like, what is wrong with this guy? And I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. But you want to know what's so interesting about running on a treadmill? You go nowhere. You don't go anywhere. You're just running in place over and over and over and over and over again. And the Lord helped me to see this. How many of us, we're fit, we're fast, we're very capable, but we're going nowhere? That's where I was. That's where many of us are. And you know what that looks like? Pulling 4 plates of 45 every day. This is what Jesus says. Now, drop that off, drop that load off, but come and pick up a yoke. Here's the word. This is the word he uses. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word there means it's employed. Meaning when you come to me, I will give you something that's worth working towards. For me, it was trying to get a big house or a nice car. But this is what Jesus really taught me. None of that is really worth working towards. I know it's cool to have, right? It looks good on social media, but that's not really worth working towards. What's worth working towards is my kingdom. And I remember at the lowest point in my life, this is what I was doing. I was walking in my dad's yard. My dad had about 16 acres. I'm walking around the yard. I just lost my job. And I'm completely distraught because everything that I thought I would get in life hung on that job. And I said to myself, if I don't have this job, I have nothing. And many of you do that every day. If I don't have this grade, if I don't have this accolade, if I don't win this award, then everything falls apart. And right there in that moment, this verse came to mind. I want you to write this down in your book or put this in your memory banks. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Here's the point. The things that would be added are necessary things, like food, clothes, a place to stay, being taken care of by your heavenly Father and not by your own strength. And let me tell you something about my God. I don't know how yours work, but I'll tell you how my God works. Ever since I've given my life to God the right way, I've never gone hungry. I've always had a house to stay in. I've always had clothes on my back. And can I tell you something that I'm not ashamed to tell you? He's never let me down a single day in my life. Yeah, that's worth clapping for. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. All right. We sometimes put our lives on the line for things that don't really matter. Right? And when it doesn't work the way we want it to work, we look at God and say, God, how could you fail me? But what God is saying, I just want you to do one thing. Take my yoke upon you. Here's another thing that he says. Learn of me. You know, whenever they had oxen that would be attached to these yoke, there's something that happened. What did you all notice when they were up here pulling this load? What did you notice? One of the things that I noticed that if I was you guys, I would have done it this way. I'm not you guys because you guys are smarter than me and you're stronger than me. But there's two chains here. Right? Which means there's a way to leverage the weight. Most of us grab, if it's the yoke that we're carrying or the yoke that Jesus wants us to carry, with one end of the yoke, and we just keep going. We just keep pulling. And we say, look at us, Jesus. See, I got it. Here he is. I'm pulling. And that's never the way God meant us to carry this. A yoke, if you ever saw it, required two people or two animals, one on the one side and one on the other. And they normally would pair a young oxen with an older oxen so that the older could teach the younger how to pull the weight. Here's the thing. You might drop off your weight or decide to pull it with someone else. But here's the question. Who's helping you pull the weight? Is it your friend? Your boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad? What Jesus is saying here, pick up my yoke, get right next to me, and let's pull this thing the way God wants us to do it. Because no one knows like I know what you are supposed to do with your life. There are three things that I want to show you here. The first thing is Jesus originally tells us to come to him. Just come, right? You might say, well, God, I'm not the best Christian. That doesn't matter. Come anyway. God, I messed up last night. That doesn't matter. Come anyway. You know what I learned about Jesus? He's better at receiving people than we are. Yeah, we'll push people off. And we'll say, now, when you get right, come back. But you know what Jesus says? Bring all that with you. I'll help you. And I'm going to tell you, the best freedom in the world, the best freedom in the world is whenever you get to your lowest point, going to Jesus and no one else. So he says, come to me. Don't go to Moses. Don't go to the tabernacle. Don't go to the law. Come to me. But the second thing he says is serve with me. Serve with me. In other words, don't just come to get a ride to heaven. This is what I learned in reading the Gospels. Jesus didn't save us just to go to heaven. I know we want to get there, but he didn't save us just to go to heaven. He saved us to do something on the way to heaven. Something that will change this world and show the people that are trapped in darkness what it means to be a child of light. And until you get that in your mind, you're just carrying a bunch of stuff around. Oh, and it looks good too, trophies and all. But that's not what God wants. The third thing is this. He wants us to learn from him. I discovered, friends, that there are some things that Jesus asks me to do that no one in this world have ever asked me to do. I look very, you know, I played piano a lot in church. It's kind of the only thing I learned to do well, other than, you know, just being there. And I remember playing the keyboard, and people would come up and say, oh, you did such a great job. You're wonderful. I mean, the spirit was just here today, and it was so great. And the more they said that, my chest just began to pop out, and I would walk around like I was the best musician in the world. Of course, I wasn't, but that's the way I felt. And people measured my spirituality by how well I played the piano. If I played well, I must be good. If I preached well, then I must be good. If I did a little move in church, y'all know about those little moves in church? Y'all do moves? Not really? Okay, it's all right. They do moves in church in my church. But as long as we did that little move, oh, you were good. But you know what Jesus started doing? Love your enemy. Whoa, wait a minute, man. Love your enemy? When someone wants to smack you across your face, turn the other cheek. Wait a minute, God. I didn't hear that when they called me to the altar. That's different. That's different. And this is what I concluded. If a man can say that and do that, he must be worth following. And I know it looks heavy, but I'll tell you what, you find freedom in learning from Jesus how to govern your lives. It's the best decision I've ever made. So today, can we be honest, a little more honest today? Again, how many of y'all are tired? Come on, lift your hands up. Tired. I'm tired. I've been tired. But guess what, guys? Today, God is offering all of us some rest. I would like for all of us to do one thing this week. And if you see me around campus, tell me how it goes. I want you to go to your room or go to some space on campus. You know, the prayer towers is pretty empty oftentimes. It's a pretty nice place to go. But go there and ask God to push your agenda to the side and help you see what his agenda for your life really is. Tell him really honestly, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all that. I'm tired of fighting with life. I'm tired of fighting with my own sinful nature. I'm tired of all of that. Push all of that to the side and help me right now to know what you want me to do with my life. And if that doesn't work for you, you come and tell me that it didn't work. But if you give your life to God that way, to Jesus that way, and you go and learn who he is, I promise you, I'll put my promise on the line here. I promise you, your life will be a lot more peaceful. Can we pray? Please. Jesus, I thank you for who you are and what you've done, not only on the cross, but just what you've done with your life. We've all studied great people and wonderful, wonderful men and women throughout history. But I think we can all agree today that there's been no one greater than you. You really showed us how to do it. And not just by showing us, you gave us also your promise that you'll help us if we would just come to you and learn. Help us today, Lord, to come to you, learn from you, serve with you, and rely on you. And I believe, Lord, your word is true, just like you promised them, that we won't be required to follow some sort of ritual or law, but your spirit will help us find the peace, the love, and the production that you desire for our lives. Do these things for us. We'll praise you. We'll give you the credit, and we won't take it for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. You all are dismissed. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.